Hey there, baseball fans. Welcome to Hit It With The Hips, where love meets the long ball.
We're your hosts, Kat and Donald, aka Mr. Hip, a baseball-obsessed couple who love talking ball just as much as we love each other. Most days.
That's right. From home run heroics to dugout drama, we break down the biggest stories, wildest moments, and of course, argue about whose team is actually the best.
Spoiler alert, it's not yours, love.
We'll cover stats, stories, and everything in between, all while keeping it fun, lighthearted, and maybe even a little competitive.
So grab your peanuts and Cracker Jack, because this is Hit It With The Hips, where baseball meets banter.
Hit it with the hips.
It's May, so it's our month. Can you tell them why?
It is our month because this is our anniversary. This is my birthday, and this is your birthday, and it's Mother's Day.
That's right. It's my, now my favorite month. So, all right, folks, we've missed you, but we are back, and we are better than ever. If you remember last episode, Donald was dealing with the injury, and we got a little better news, so... How are you feeling?
On the up and up, still not 100, but we'll be there soon.
All right. Well, let's start this episode off with our Hit It Hit of the Week. All right, folks, it's time for Hit of the Week, the one swing that made us jump out of our seats, drop our snacks, and question the law of physics. Whether it was a moonshot, a clutch liner, or just pure hitting artistry, we've got it covered. Let's break it down. So, who was your hit of the week?
Kat, I would like to forego my hit of the week because I want you to go first.
Oh, wow. All right. So, this past weekend, the Rockies played the losers. I mean, the San Francisco Giants. And Ryan McMahone, that superstar, hit two home runs this past Sunday. So, that was collectively my best hits of the week. What about you?
Okay. I want to set the scene for our listeners. I'm in the vehicle driving around town. It's May 4th. I'm scared because my fantasy baseball team is up 40 points going into Sunday. The last day of the week. I'm playing my wife, the person across from me recording this podcast with me. She's in her feelings. I'm nervous, and I cannot lose. Not at all. My pride won't let me. So we're driving, listening to the Nationals. CJ Abrams comes up to plate. Hits a two-run double against the nemesis of this podcast, Taylor Rogers. And when CJ hits this home run, this sets the stage for Kyle Finnegan, whom I have on my fantasy team, to come in and give me the 11 points that I needed to secure the win in fantasy baseball. So my hit of the week goes to CJ Abrams on May 4th. May the 4th be with you. And we score 4 points that day as well. That is my hit of the week. That's my tea of the week too. So we missed you all last week because we were really knee deep into fighting it out in the fantasy realm. And your boy prevailed. So I did just want to shout that out.
Not by much. Not by many points.
Not by many points, but enough. And that's my favorite thing. You only need to score more points than one team each week, and that is your opponent. So speaking of losers, I'd like to introduce our next segment, which is Teams to Turn It Around. And we are going to look at the worst of the division and see which teams we think have the best opportunities to turn it around. So, Kat, before I pass things over to you, just want to let our listeners know at the time of this recording that these are the worst of the division. Starting out with the American League East, we have the Baltimore Orioles. Next, for American League Central, we have the White Sox. Followed by American League West, the Los Angeles, need to go back to being called the Anaheim Angels.
Mm-hmm. And in the National League, in the East, we have the Marlins. Central, we have the Pirates. And in the West, it is the Rockies.
What you think about those teams, Kat?
Yeah.
Which ones are going to turn it around?
You know, when I was researching this, I really had to collectively see the team structure, the organization, and what was going to happen. And based on what I'm just seeing off the bat for the American League, I'm very hopeful that the Orioles will still have an opportunity to make the playoffs. And for the National Leagues, I think everybody is raving about the Pirates. So it's surprising to think that they're at the bottom. But as mentioned before, they're just in the toughest division. Yeah. What about you?
No, I echo the sentiment for the Orioles. I think I'm looking at this now, they're only 5 games behind the Yankees at the top of the division. But Yankees and Boston are battling it out back and forth. 19 wins for the Yankees, 18 wins for the Red Sox. Tampa Bay, I'm not so sold on, but I do feel like a lot of those teams in the AL East, all of those teams will finish out at 500. That's my prediction, at least. Turn it around. You said the Rockies would turn it around?
No, I didn't say that. I said the Pirates.
Ooh. I'm like, the Rockies have the worst record with 6 wins this year. Pirates, I'm not so sure about the Pirates. And the reason why, I had a conversation a couple weeks ago with Wes, new team 6. Shout you out, sir. But he talked about how Kyle Tucker's arrival in Chicago has really made them, all of the hitters in Chicago, better. And with those, with the arrival of Tucker and the picking up of all those bats in those lineups, you got 2 catchers that are phenomenal there. I see them running away with this, and they are 10 games ahead of the Pirates right now. And then they're with the Reds. The Reds are playing great baseball. De La Cruz is cruising to steal 100 bases. This is probably this year. And then the Cardinals play great baseball. So it feels like the AL East, right, like with the Orioles, but at the same time, all of those teams are cooking, and the Pirates really need help at pitching. I think that's where they're struggling at. So I'm not fond of the Pirates. I think Miami will finish out at the bottom of the NL East. Mm-hmm. And I think the Angels will finish out at the bottom. But surprising, when we first talked about recording this before we played each other in fantasy last week, the Athletics were at the bottom of the AL West. So it was really nice to see them climb and rise to the top with Seattle, not too far behind, a game behind, actually.
Yeah, so with the Angels, too, I think really what's hurting them right now is injuries and just underperforming in general. Although recently, my shortstop, my guy, what's his? Nito.
Yeah.
There was a few trades asking for him, and now I see why. He's coming back in full throttle. But I think, you know, major headlines always talk about the cap space for the Angels. Because as long as Mike Trout is playing with that contract, they can't invest in talent.
But
they have money.
I'm not sure. I don't think baseball does a cap. I think so. I mean, if the owners are not deciding to invest more money in the salary, that's something else. Because if baseball had a cap, Ohtani and his checks and all of those record-breaking signings with the Dodgers, would it really be possible? So they need to put more money into the team. I agree. And Trout's injured again. So, you know, they said luckily it wasn't a tear, but I can't see the Angels. They started out strong, but I can't see them competing. Soriano's had a good couple of games to start off. Kikuchi has been not been backed by the offense when he's starting, and the teams in that division are – the AL West is open. I'll say that.
Yeah. But so bring it back to the Rockies. So something that's interesting about the Rockies, because their record is very similar to last season, is that their manager, Bud Black, remains in the same position. They've, although dismissed their hitting coach, Hensley, due to the team underperforming, they still even brought back a former manager, Clint Hurdle, as a replacement. And you know what they say, sometimes the people that make the decisions aren't making the best decision, and that really shows, because the White Sox are in desperate need of some quality relief pitchers. They, for the life of them, cannot win a game because they just keep, at the end of the innings, just can't keep the score.
No bull. I'm with you. And not to talk about, I know we're talking about the worst teams, but when you mention bullpen woes, I just think about what's going on in the Nationals and how our bullpen needs to kind of pick it up too. So pitching is very dire this season. It's harder to pitch, it feels like, watching baseball games and the high scoring, especially if you watch those Seattle games, but.
And then I bring it back for just improving the White Sox. So I looked at them too, and I was like, what's going on with their leadership? They hired their new manager, Will Venable. But a lot of their pitching coaches, hitting coaches, this was their second season, and they're still, you know, showing that there's really no improvement. Yeah, they just need to prioritize talent, and, you know, when the trade deadline comes, they really need to work on getting new quality people.
Yeah, no doubt. Need management. Need to put you in a front office. Cat, get you That's a GM right. gig. You know, That's Kathleen right. is open for hiring for all our baseball fans out there, or baseball GMs out there. But I did want to kind of just make sure, you know, we put this there that your prediction is that the Pirates will turn it around and the Orioles will turn it around. My prediction is that the Orioles will turn it around. I think the bottom is being set to be the bottom. I think it's going to be difficult for those teams to turn it around for the exact things that you mentioned: hiring, personnel, farming, and pseudo salary cap.
Yeah, I mean, when you think Pirates, you think Skeens, right? I feel like everybody is like one of the best pitchers, and he's in the bottom of the totem pole.
But that
almost
just goes to show you that baseball is a team sport.
Mm-hmm. I think that's right.
Skeens was great. When Jerry Jones was healthy as number two, he was good. Mitch Keller was great as a third pitcher. But I think forcing Mitch Keller to step up to be the second in that rotation is not working out. And the bats haven't quite picked up. Reynolds has had a slow start. He's been heating up in May. Key Brian Hayes started off decent, but he's looking like last year again. And so I think when you look at some of the standout names that they have on offense, it's hard to back those games. And I think for Skeens, I do have the pitching things up. How many wins does Paul Skeens have this year? Yeah, he's 3-3. There you go. Sorry for Skeens. That's, you know, if they need some bats, Pittsburgh, you can always call me. I don't mind coming out of retirement at all. At all. But it looks like, yeah, with a 2.74 ERA, I think a lot of that comes from the bats. But with that being said, Kathleen, I think it's time to take a break for our sponsors. We'll see y'all on the other side.
Here with the hip.
Dads don't just drive you to Little League. They teach you how to throw a perfect curve, grill the best post-game glizzies, and still make time to look good doing it. At Dads Are Cool, too, they know being a dad just isn't a title. It's a lifestyle. That's why they got the dopest hats and tees that celebrate the coolest dad-dads out there. Whether you're coaching from the dugout, catching a game with your kid, or just repping dad life and style, DACT's got you covered. So step up to the plate, show off your dad pride, and grab your game day gear at Dads Are Cool Too. Because being a parent is hard work and legendary. We know moms are cool. Guess what, though? Dads are cool, too. Visit dadsarecool2.com using the promo code MR_HIP for 15% off today.
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our ad. Really check those folks out. Doing
thank
great
you
work, keeping us fly. Another ad, just want to shout out my Twitch. You can catch me streaming MLB The Show, Monsieur Hip. Would love to get my followers up. You can hear the kids in the background every stream. You might hear my mother-in-law speaking to Gala in the background. You'll hear Kat yelling at me to do something with the kids. So all in all, it's good times, and we love to have you over on that channel as well. But with all of that cross-promotion, let's jump right back into it. World Baseball Classic.
Yes, the World Baseball Classic, or WBC, is an international baseball tournament sanctioned by the World Baseball Softball Confederation and organized in partnership with MLB and the MLB Players Association. It features national teams from around the world showcasing top professional and amateur players, including MLB stars, competing for their countries. It was first held in 2006. The tournament occurs every few years. Japan has been the most successful team, winning three titles in 2006, 2009, and the last one in 2023. The WBC aims to promote baseball globally, offering a stage for countries like the United States, Japan, Dominican Republic, Cuba, and others to compete at a high level. The 2023 event saw Japan defeat the USA in the final with a record of 36.2 million viewers for the Japan-USA game in Japan alone. The next tournament is scheduled for 2026.
So stoked about these international games. Now, part of this segment is not only just to educate you all on the World Baseball Classic. The World Baseball Classic takes place at four different locations this year. Kat, I'm going to ask you to look up those four different locations if you can. But we were like, what would our World Baseball Classic lineup look like? And so that is what we are going to jump into right now. And so, Kat, whenever you find those four locations for the World Baseball Classic, please feel free to tell me to be quiet.
Interesting. It says three. It says the games are going to be held in Miami, Florida, Houston, Texas, and San Juan, Puerto Rico. Oh, and Bunkyo, Japan. My bad. It was four.
Nice.
Yes.
If you're checking out those Japan games, Mr. Hip would love a Japanese baseball glove. I mean, he would just love it. So if you are in Japan, he would love a Japanese baseball glove. I'm not going to say the brand because sponsorship, but yeah. Baseball Classic. Kat, you want to go first? I'm interested in your lineup. Walk us through your batters, then we'll do pitchers, and then we'll talk closers.
Yeah, so it's actually interesting because when I was doing my research, there are, you know, MLB players are multifaceted, so they can actually, they don't even have to be blood, they could be Nash, you know, from other team. But from the names that I could compile, you know, my power hitters are going to be Aaron Judge, Pete Alonso, I'm going Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, and Freddie Freedman. And my star, my rising star, is going to be Corbin Carroll from the Diamondbacks. My pitcher that I'm hoping, Gerrit Cole, will be healthy by that time. And my closer will have to be my guy, Josh Hader.
Nice.
What you working with?
I am going Captain Aaron Judge at right field.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going Mookie Betts at second base. I like Witt Jr. at shortstop. Matt Chapman at third base. Love Corbin Carroll, center field. Kyle Tucker, left field. Pete Alonso, DH. And Tyler Soderstrom at first base because I really enjoy what he's doing. For pitchers, my five rotating pitchers would be Paul Skenes, Logan Webb, Scooble, Chris Sale, and Michael King. Michael King looks great. Almost got my opponent the win in fantasy last week, but that didn't seem to work out for them. So,
who's your relief?
Relief for my closer, I got two closers.
Okay.
Kyle, again and again, Finnegan. I think he has 10 saves right now. And then I am going to go with Mason Miller. I really like him over in the Athletics. I think he is doing a great job.
Yeah, great, great picks. I guess we would have to also consider these upcoming other stars that will be playing next year. Might be coming up from the farm to get to play in this big game. But very excited that the local game's in Houston because maybe I can convince Donna to go out there. We'll see. Maybe go catch
we'll
the game.
Live out there by then.
Ooh,
maybe.
Spicy.
I did just want to toot Kyle Finnegan's horn right now and say that he is third in saves with Robert Suarez and Munoz above him, but he is third with 11. Suarez is at the top with 14, so Finnegan is my guy. Gerrit Cole is interesting. I'm not sure if I would have him pitch. Somebody got Gerrit Cole. Shout outs to D-Stacks. But he got Gerrit Cole in our fantasy league on the contract till 2026, and we do penalties, and he asked if he could drop him earlier just out of just generosity, and the league really ate him up just requesting that. So I'm not sure if he pitches next year, especially not having a year to pitch and kind of stay warm and not having that muscle memory. But we'll see. We'll see if he wants to play.
Yeah, something about the World Baseball Classic that I'm interested in seeing how it plays out is our controversial Mexican pitchers that are can no longer play for the MLB, they'll be able to participate.
Oh. What controversial pitches are those?
Julio Urías and my other guy from the Dodgers, who can no longer come back. But apparently they're stars in the Mexican Baseball League, so who knows if they'll be able to play, but that'll be interesting.
I think you're talking about Trevor Bauer.
Yes, Trevor Bauer.
I think they threw that court case out, too. It's interesting. We should probably have a whole episode and follow up about the dirtiness behind the MLB players and their behavior off field.
Yeah, but interesting, they're still, you know, playing for international teams right now. So we'll see if we'll see them in the big stages. And then I think everybody is trying to wrap their head around the Japanese players.
Yeah.
And coming back to their, you know, their home and dominating in this World Classic game, you know.
We might see Ohtani pitch for the first time at the World Baseball Classic if he doesn't pitch this year. Would be interesting.
Yeah.
See that arm come out of retirement. But yeah, I think our next episode, or the next episode, you'll hear from me and Kat, and then we have a line of guest speakers that will be joining us to talk more about baseball. But I'm going to let Kathleen pull out her timer so we can get ready for the rapid fire question. 60 seconds. We are ready. So, all right, it's time to crank up the heat and dive into our, or at least my favorite part of the show, the rapid fire question round. We're throwing out quick hitting questions to break down the hottest names, biggest flops, and fantasy steals in the game right now. No time to overthink, just gut reactions and bold takes. So buckle up, grab your fantasy rosters, and let's see who's making waves and who's crashing out. Here we go.
All right, here it goes. Let's set it. Let's go.
Breakout star for the month of May.
I'm going to go with my guy, Nito.
Player you wish you had on your fantasy team.
Oof. I'm going to go for that Giants player you let go.
Oh. Was, mm-hmm. Biggest disappointment of the season so far.
Otani not pitching.
Sleeper pick for the one player you regret dropping from your fantasy team.
Oh, Jimenez.
Rookie who's still in the show.
I'm going to go. Do we consider Gunnar Henderson a rookie still? He's still killing it. Go ahead.
Most overrated player right now.
Aaron Judge.
Underdog team to watch this month.
The Tigers.
Who's the clutch performer in crunch time?
I'm going to go with Teoscar Hernandez. Although
player
he's
you're benching no matter what.
Done.
Player you're benching no matter what. I need you to say this. Player you're benching no matter what.
Stop. Well, as of right now, that's a good question. Who am I benching on my team right now? Who's not getting any airtime? I'll tell you honestly because, let's see. I just got to briefly look at my team right now. Right now, I haven't really been putting up Jax from my relief from Minnesota. He's been chilling. All right.
So is Matsui, but whatever.
I know.
Thank you.
Well, now you're going to have to listen up to the timer. Okay. Here it goes. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So, how has social media changed the relationship between players and fans?
You get to learn more. I think you see more of the, like, post-interview conferences, and you get to see the swag and personality. Shout out Jazz Chisholm.
Which international player is influencing the style of baseball?
Otani. Otani.
What current innovation in baseball equipment is changing how the game is played?
Was the torpedo bat, but then we see what happened to Jazz lately.
How can MLB better market its stars to families and younger generations?
I think a lot of the players come from family-oriented cultures, so just supporting those players and their cultures and highlighting them.
Which ballpark enhancement has most improved families' experience in MLB stadiums?
Sensory rooms.
And timer's done.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us for another episode. But before we go, we have to give a shout out to our general manager. So shout outs to
Greg, Tim, and Donnell.
Appreciate y'all. We will see you on the next episode.
Please follow us everywhere you listen to podcasts. Give us a like, comment, subscribe, and find us on Instagram, Patreon. We're on. So we'll see you next time.
And don't forget to follow Donald on Twitter.
Yes.
Peace out, y'all.
Bye.